Welcome to sermons from St. John's Lutheran Church of Oaks, North Dakota. At St. John's Lutheran Church, we are built on the rock, and that rock is Christ. We are a cross-focused congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been our privilege to share the unchanging gospel with Oaks and the surrounding area for over 100 years. This sermon, entitled God Provides, was preached for Laetare, the fourth Sunday in Lent, on March 10, 2024. This sermon is based on the Old Testament reading from Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 through 21. The Old Testament reading for Laetare, the fourth Sunday in Lent, is from Exodus chapter 16. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer, according to the number of persons that each of you has in his tent.' And the people of Israel did so. They gathered, some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever had gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, 'Let no one leave any of it over till the morning.' But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted." That portion from God's holy word for consideration today is our Old Testament lesson from Exodus chapter 16, with special emphasis on verses 9 through 12, which read as follows. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." Thus far the scriptures. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, when it comes to God's providence, there's a few things that we often get our heads twisted up about. Three in particular are evidenced for us in this text. Firstly, we human beings have a tendency to distrust God's promises to provide and care for us.
Secondly, when God does care for us, we seem inclined to demand more or differently than God gives. And finally, when it comes to God's care, we spend our energy fretting and worrying about things that pass away in this life rather than eternal things that last forever. Now, it is the case that God repeatedly says to us, his people, that he will take care of our needs. He will, from his mercy and his love, grant us what we need. And despite his many and persistent assurances that we will have our daily bread and all that it entails, we human beings still cry out to God as if his promises were suspect, that he might not deliver on them, that somehow God's promise is in question. Now this reveals something important about us, not good, but important. That is to say that our sinful nature distrusts God. It's disposed to deny him, doubt his promises, and to call his continued goodness into question. But this is a strange thing, because there's really no need for us to doubt God on our end, because God does not abandon his promises to take care of us and give us eternal life and salvation. The people of Israel were no different from us in that regard. Here in this particular passage in the Old Testament, despite God's repeated demonstrations, both of his power, his ability, and his care, they continued to distrust him and continued to demand even greater things from him. Now think about the context here. Israel had been delivered from slavery. They had already seen the 10 plagues. They had been led by the pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. They had crossed through the Red Sea, which had miraculously parted to allow them passage. And despite all this, being safe on the other side of the Red Sea waters, approaching Mount Sinai, what do? They whine and they complain and they grumble about what God has given them and about the deliverance he has visited on them. Oh, if we only had the meat pots of Egypt, they said. Be better to be in slavery and to have meat to eat than to be out here in this wilderness to die of hunger. Oh God, we know that we cried out for deliverance from slavery and you gave it to us. But you know, we really would have liked it this way instead. If we're being honest with ourselves, we must acknowledge that all of us struggle with these sorts of things from time to time. So why do we think this way? Well, I know that some of that is earned by honest experience. There have been lean times when money was tight. The groceries weren't certain in the future. The electric bill may be something that wasn't going to be paid. It's easy to feel nervous about that. It's easy to stay awake at night and to doubt God's promises. Sleepless nights breed the kind of anxiety that makes it easy to distrust what God has given. And yet, even in these lean times, for those of you who've had them, have you ever starved to death? Did you ever wake up and not have what you need each day? It might have been tight. It might not have been what you wanted. But you were still here, aren't you? You lived. You got what you need. God gave you what he promised. And here's the thing, too, about this. In this community, we have a lot of places, if you are hungry, you can go for food. We have a food pantry, a couple of them, in fact. There's programs through our county and local other things that can provide for you food. It's not like if you're starving to death, you can't find food here in Oaks, North Dakota. Because even if the means that God uses to provide for us is not our paycheck, he still has means to provide for us. And even if all of those programs and institutions fail, you still have your brothers and sisters in Christ here in the church. And I can tell you that I know for certain there are a lot of people in this congregation, if they knew that you were hungry, they would not hesitate to make sure that your cupboards were full and your freezer was full. Because that's what Christians do for each other. Because God will give you what you need each day. And even if it doesn't come in the way that we want, he has ensured to put people around us who will take care of us in our times of need and provide for us when things cannot be provided for in ourselves. This is the nature of Christian community. God is so generous that even in the tightest of times, in the darkest of hours, he still gives to us daily bread. He still gives us what we need. So then we should ask ourselves a question. Have you ever honestly, in any time in your life, not had what you needed It might have been tight. It might have been uncomfortable. But have you ever not had what you needed? Has your daily bread ever been lacking such that you were literally starving to death? Literally without anything to drink, sleeping on the ground underneath of an old cardboard box? Maybe you have, but yet here you are. And as far as I know, you all have homes to live in and some food in the cupboard, even if it's really boring and basic stuff like canned beans. Because God provides. And the reason I bring this up is because when we doubt God, we're ignoring this history, this track record of his good gifts to us that he consistently and daily provides to us. And when we stop and think about it a little bit, it makes this whole episode seem a little bit ridiculous. Because I don't know about you, I have not been led by a pillar of cloud and fire. I have not gotten bread from heaven or quail that came and landed on my lap to eat. I have not seen seas split open. And yet God has given me my daily bread. In fact, I've had a surplus of it. But here's the thing. Israel had all of these signs, and they still doubted. You know, when I was a kid, I remember I was reading the Bible. I must have been about confirmation age, and I decided that I was going to read through the Bible cover to cover because I wanted to know what was in there. And I stalled out at the book of Numbers and sat it down for several years. And if you haven't read the book of Numbers, it's kind of boring. There's a reason it's called Numbers. A lot of figures that make no sense if you don't spend some time studying it, right? But anyways, I got through the book of Exodus, and I remember reading this passage. And I got disgusted, and I sat my Bible down, and I thought, this is ridiculous. Nobody would ever do this. And then I walked out of the room, and I don't remember what it was, but I had a very inappropriate, sinful thought, and it occurred to me in that moment that I just did the exact same thing that these people did, not 25 seconds after being disgusted with them about it. And that's always stuck with me, because this is the human condition. God is generous and merciful and gives us what we need, and we constantly call it into question. Now, in case I have not been clear, God promises to provide you everything that you need, even when you doubt and even when you're unsure. Now, in addition to our distrust of God making good on his promises, we also tend to look down on what God provides. You know, there's a saying, or at least a twist on a saying, familiarity breeds contempt. When we get used to having something, we start thinking of it as nothing at all. So think, for example, the stuff you go buy at the grocery store, milk, bread, and eggs. That's kind of a staple around here. And do you think milk, bread, and eggs are luxury items? Nah, you kind of just see that as regular everyday food. What's luxury is crab legs and ribeye steak, right? That's the good stuff. And yet, if you had a freezer full of ribeyes and crab legs, you'd get tired of those too, just like I would. Because something about God's abundance to us makes us grow so accustomed to his blessings that we stop seeing them as blessings at some point, and we start to then want other things. And this is what Israel does here. They had seen and received many blessings from God, but they wanted something else, in this case, bread. And while we don't want to fault them too much, because after all, people need to eat, it is the case that they weren't satisfied with being delivered from slavery and having Pharaoh's power broken so that they could go off into the wilderness and toward the promised land. In other words, we often find ourselves dissatisfied with what God gives us in this life. Now, I'm not saying that it is a sin to want to improve things, okay? It is good for us to want to have better lives, to have better jobs, to build businesses, to improve our community. That's fine. I simply want to point out that there's a fine line between a godly stewardship of the things God has given us toward improvement and dissatisfaction, because it's really easy to step from the healthy to the unhealthy and vice versa, because that line is very, very thin. In fact, a large part of our economy is built on consumer demand. People want to buy things because we have advertising in our lives that makes us dissatisfied with what we have so that we go out and buy other things that we probably don't even really need in order to feel fulfilled as human beings. And if you don't think that this is the way it is, well, the average person, according to a Forbes article, and this is from 2017, and the statistic they quote is actually from 2015, but it's the most recent one I could find, says that we see somewhere between 4 and 10,000 ads per day. That's an almost 10-year-old figure. It's worse now. And if we take that, that means at minimum we're seeing 4.2 ads per minute of our waking day. And that includes brands and things on Facebook and whatever, and you're always being bombarded by advertising, which is why it's really hard for us to be satisfied. We find ourselves often dissatisfied because we want a different car, a different house, a different life. Instead, we should be content with the blessings that God has given to us. See, the opposite of dissatisfaction is contentedness, rejoicing in the blessings that God has given to us. Now, as I mentioned, you can be content and also seek improvement. That is not a mutually exclusive thing. You can do that. If you are, say, content with the station that God has given to you and rejoice in your job and yet want to start a business, that's okay. You are free in Christ to do such things. But if the reason you want to be an entrepreneur is because you hate your life as it is now, then you are dissatisfied. And this, in turn, is a snubbing of the blessings that God has given to us. And as I said, this is really hard to do because a lot of things in our society are designed to make us not be content or satisfied. And yet, we should look at the things that we have in this life and see them as the blessings that they are and give thanks to God for them being in our lives, because in appreciating what God gives us, we then can be good stewards of those things. Because dissatisfaction tends to lead us to disregard the things we've been entrusted with, which means we don't utilize them well. And dissatisfaction also tends to make us greedy. Think about it. If you don't think you have enough, or what you have is wrong, are you going to be likely to care for your neighbors, to provide them what they need? No, you're going to be more likely to hold on to it to yourself because you think that you need more. And along with greed, of course, comes stinginess. It's one of those things that happens in human nature when we find ourselves wanting something different or more than what God has provided. And again, it's a hard line to walk. It's a very difficult thing to want to develop and improve some part of your life and also be satisfied and content with what God gives us. But yet, this is the Christian walk. And again, this is why the whole enterprise is built on forgiveness in Christ, because the walk is difficult and we often stumble. Israel was dissatisfied. They grumbled and they complained against God and His gifts. And when we read the passage, it is a little ridiculous. Why did they complain? They had everything they needed. God Himself was with them, guiding and leading them. And most of the time when we sit and complain, we have to be honest about it. We do so from a place in life where the basics are already covered. Most of us, if not all of us, have enough food to eat today, a place to sleep tonight, and a car to get from church and home and back and forth again. Most of us have some means of providing for ourselves, whether in our retirement or our investments or our work. We have things in this life that we need. And yet, how many of us can say we are genuinely satisfied with everything in our lives? I think if we're honest, we'll find very quickly that there's something we're going to complain about, something that'll lead us to grumble. And you know me well enough, I like to grumble. And I'm speaking to myself here as much as to the rest of you. It is hard to be content. But yet, when we look at all the things that God provides us, why shouldn't we be? Because God has given us so much. Everything from our daily bread all the way to eternal life, guaranteed for us in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, with this discontentment and this distrust of God, we also tend to worry about earthly things to the exclusion of eternal things. And this is, again, just one of those things that we human beings do. I do this. I know a lot of you do this because a lot of you have told me about this. What keeps us up at night is not salvation. It's not the forgiveness of sins. It's not the fear of hell and brimstone, right? It is the worry that we're going to not be somebody in this life, that we're not going to have the right reputation, that the checkbook won't be able to be balanced in the positive, that people at work don't like me. These are the things that keep us awake and that we worry about. And I'm not saying they're not things we shouldn't worry about. That's not my point. My point is that our entire lives are enveloped with things that are passing away instead of looking at the things which last forever. Because if we were to step back and look at the situation of human existence before God and say, now, these things which last forever, these should probably occupy most of our attention because, again, they're eternal. But instead, that seems to be the very small thing. And the things which are temporary and are passing away, they're the very big thing in our attention in life. Well, dear friends, I guess in one way we can understand that this is understandable, because the big things, eternal life and salvation, that's been taken care of. Our Lord Jesus handled it. It is finished, as He said. And there is no power on heaven or on earth or in hell below that can undo what Christ has done. So I guess in that sense, it makes sense that we wouldn't spend a lot of time fretting or worrying about it. Now, dear friends, I'm not trying to beat you up about the way that we all are, because again, I'm in this boat with you guys as well. What I want you to take away from this sermon is not all the things that we do wrong, but a reminder of the goodness and generosity and love of God. You see, one of the reasons we can be this way is that God is so abundant in his blessings that he does not stop providing for us, even when we grumble, even when we want something else, even when we pout and throw a fit about it. He still gives us everything that we need, starting from the most mundane of basic necessities all the way up to and including eternal life in Christ Jesus. Our Lord provides it all to us, and this is not because of us. It's because of God's love for us. God loves us so much that he gave his only son into death so that you would have life. And if he doesn't even withhold his son, we should have no doubts that he will give us our daily bread and something to drink and a place to sleep and good friends and neighbors and gainful employment, and every other blessing of this world. Your Father in heaven cares about you so much that he ensured that you would live forever with him in the forgiveness of sins. We shouldn't sweat the small stuff. I know that's easier said than done sometimes, but God has promised to provide you your daily bread and to care for you and to give you everything that you need. And so, dear friends in Christ, despite all of our discomforts, our dissatisfactions, our disappointments, we have a God who cares about every part of our existence, all aspects of our life, from the most mundane of everyday concerns to the great things of eternal life and everything in between. God provides all that you need. He will certainly continue to do so. After all, his care for us is not rooted in our own behavior and our goodness or our deserving of it. It's rooted in his own character and love, and the love that he has is so deep and wide for you that it led him to give up his son so that you would have everlasting life and salvation. So, dear friends, enjoy your daily bread. Be satisfied, both with the things now, but even more so with the eternal life given to you in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.
If you like what you heard, check out our website, stjohnsoaks.org. That's OAKES. Or visit us for services at 9 a.m. each week. Feel free to email us at stjohnsoaks@gmail.com. God bless you, and we look forward to having you enjoy our messages again next week.